Just want to do a quick PSA at the beginning of this episode. We're going to be talking about some pretty rough stuff. I know we've talked about rough things in the past, but we've got some intense energies in this episode. Violence, sexual assault, and then in Jake's topic, you know, we try as hard as we can not to say the names of entities that will do harm, but if you feel negative energies, I'm sorry. Giving you a warning beforehand. Mm-hmm. And hope you enjoy the episode.
Your discretion is advised.
Hey, Macarena. God damn it, that's how you open?
That's right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, but I needed to clean my throat.
You had so long. You had an hour to do that.
Bullshit.
You had an hour to do that.
We've been here for so long already.
I've been here. I haven't done anything.
I got here to record, and these assholes were playing PlayStation 4 and wouldn't stop. They were playing Call of Duty for a while, then some other game.
We were playing Killing Floor.
Oh, what is that? It's a zombie game.
It's monsters. Here. Whatever. Renee has a PlayStation 4, and I love it, and I want one of my own, but I ain't got the money for one, so I come here to live vicariously through you guys.
Meanwhile, Annabelle is swallowing a French bread pizza.
I like how you knew it was French bread. Yes, it is.
Well, it's obviously French bread.
It has to always be French bread. I don't want that rum shit anymore. I'm too fancy for
those
that
are
shit.
Those are from middle school. The middle school pizzas.
Yes, like the round ones. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't have any sauce on them, so I'd have to put ketchup on them like a weirdo.
What?
Oh, no, I've said too much.
What did you just say? That's like you admitting that you're a serial killer right now. And you put ketchup on your pizza?
That's worse.
Because there was no sauce on it. It was just cheesy bread.
Yeah, and?
So I would put ketchup
on it. So it's a grilled
it.
Cheese.
Have you ever had Schlotzky's pizza? That shit's delicious.
I do like Schlotzky's pizza.
That's fucking good.
But I was young. I was like, I want salt. And so I put ketchup on it.
Ketchup. And then you snorted the salt packets.
Oh, Jesus Christ. There's so much sugar in ketchup, too. Mm-hmm. It makes it sweet. It's like eating a Papa John's pizza. It's so sweet. I hate Papa John's.
Papa John's isn't bad. I mean, the company is bad, but the food isn't terrible.
We had Domino's the other day, and it was just disappointing.
Domino's is the grossest in town.
Yeah, it's the grossest.
I still love Little Caesars.
I was going to say, Little Caesars, the goat.
Little Caesars has never let me down.
Not a once. Mm-hmm. Even if I get there and they're hot and ready, it's like 2 days old, it's still good.
It's better than Domino's.
It's better than Domino's.
They should give out pizzas that are for $3.50 that are not hot, but they are ready.
Oh my gosh, I didn't tell you. So we went to Little Caesars and we were going to get a pizza. There was a rat in the restaurant.
Did they put it in the pizza?
No, it was just
no, running. No, he was working the phone.
God damn, the times are tough
in
for
the
Renee.
Restaurant. And I like disgusting. Looked at Renee like, do we even...
What day was that?
I don't remember. What day? It was a day.
The point is, it's okay, today, so
wait,
problem is
I'll
resolved.
Tell you why. Because we had pizza at my house like on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then they bought like 40 pizzas for PTA movie night for the school on Friday. So in between that time, there was a rat infestation.
Yes.
But
just one rat.
If you don't think that there are rats in pretty much every restaurant in the entire world, then you're just living in a fantasy.
Yeah. There's bugs and shit everywhere.
There's bugs and shit everywhere.
The rat.
The government just got just opened back up for business.
Yeah, I know. Barely.
They've been out for, what, 35 days, 37 days?
The longest government shutdown in
Some
U.S. history.
Fucking bullshit.
What a great president.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Setting records.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, so approval numbers are at record numbers.
Yes,
I mean,
they
they're
are.
Low, but it's record lows.
Yes, in the history of records. Okay, so there's a couple of things I want to talk about. First of all, they charged somebody with the... I don't know why they're calling it the sexual assault of that poor woman in Arizona who's in a...
Who oh, yeah.
Is basically in a vegetative state. They call it sexual assault. She was raped.
Yeah.
Yeah. She wasn't
She's had no way of giving consent.
She was
Literally
flat out
no
raped.
Way.
They found a guy... He has the most unfortunate mugshot you will ever see.
I gotta look this up. What is his name?
I don't even remember.
Fuck.
It doesn't need to be flattering.
No.
Not only that. And this serves him right. They keep mentioning that he was a Christian rapper.
Oh, God.
Good.
That's not any good.
He'll never live that down,
no,
ever.
No, he's never going to live that down. They're going to be asking him to drop fresh beats while he's on, while he's serving his life sentence in prison for what he done.
Give your daddy
but
the
yeah.
fresh meat.
Did he work there or did he
yes,
visit?
He worked there. He was a nurse. He was an
Is
elderly.
It this guy who's got like one
yes,
eye closed?
That's him. That's him.
Annabelle, look at this man.
What's his name?
Oh my god.
I don't know what his name is.
Doesn't matter.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, he's an LVM.
Oh, Nathan Sutherland. And he
worked at, yeah, he worked at the place. The CEO, no, the director of the nursing home resigned. A doctor resigned. Another doctor was put on suspension. They came and collected DNA evidence from pretty much everyone who worked there. And his DNA matches the baby's DNA.
Ew, what if he wasn't the only one? Why did so many doctors resign?
It's disgusting. Like I said before, and like I've said since when I was talking about this, there are so many people who are supposed to be checking up on the patients on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly basis. But there's, I mean, it's just ridiculous to think that nobody realized that she was pregnant. That
she's they realized, they just covered
that she's not missing her, you know, she's gaining weight, she's missing her period, there's something moving in her stomach.
Just shows they weren't checking up on her.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a huge...
That was a big neglect thing.
There's a, you know, every nursing home has a an administrator who is licensed in the state, and that person could lose their license. You're talking about nurses who could lose their license and not be able to practice ever again.
And you know what? Every single one of them should. If they knew and they neglected, or if they just chose not to pay attention, every one of them should lose their license and never be allowed to touch another patient.
I mean, a nursing home like that has to be sanctioned by the state and inspected by the state in order to receive funding from the state for the people who live there, and they could lose their funding, which means they basically go bankrupt because they're not getting reimbursed for the people who live there. So it's just this huge, huge blowback from what happened to this person. There's so many levels of neglect for a person to go that long without without them finding out that she's pregnant, and only realizing when she starts moaning and goes into active delivery, that's some bullshit.
That is ridiculous.
Something else that's in the headlines, I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with the kidnapping of Jamie Kloss.
No.
Oh, my God. Okay. So this little girl was abducted from her house. She was 13 years old. October 15th, 2018, someone broke into her house, killed her mother and father, and took her away in the trunk of a car.
Jesus.
Yes. They put out a reward to try to find her, and she ended up escaping on her own, and so she's going to be able to keep the reward. But nice. The guy,
your own reward for your own kidnapping.
Exactly. The guy saw her getting off the bus, which is just fucking creepy, and he decided that he was going to kidnap her. And so he got ready. He went by the house twice before he actually performed the kidnapping. But the night that he did, he was wearing all black. He had a shotgun with him. He had disabled the light in the cabin of his vehicle, in the trunk of his vehicle. He had cut the cable, the release cable in the trunk of a vehicle, because everybody's trunk has one, just in case your kid gets locked in there.
Or, you know, your kid gets kidnapped.
He walked up to the house. He knocked on the door. The dad went downstairs. He shot the dad through the door. He goes upstairs. He gets the mom, pulls her out of the bathroom. The mom and the daughter were hiding in the bathroom, in the shower, or the bathtub. Pulls the mom out, ties up the little girl, shoots the mom in the head with the shotgun.
Jesus.
Puts the kid in the car and drives away. And it's just like one of those things where it's like, you see a situation like that and you think to yourself, if the dad had a gun or a shotgun, would he have been able to defend his family? But you never know.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I mean, he was shot through the door. It's not like he talked to the man or saw the man.
Right.
The guy was at the door with a gun waiting for him, and when he heard the footsteps in front of the door, he shot through it.
It's just so unfortunate.
Yeah, but I mean, if the mom had a gun, maybe something would have gone differently.
Yeah, but...
There really is no good in the situation. No. What I will say is that she's going to get to be able to keep the reward money, but her parents are dead.
Yeah.
Both her parents are
dead. She's an orphan. She's going to CPS. We'll find out
If she doesn't have relatives. Something else that happened is that as they're getting ready to prosecute the kid, they are not charging him with any sex-related crimes, which means that she's not going to have to testify to those things in court.
Okay.
Which means that the district attorney, which when legal experts look at it, they say, okay, the district attorney has enough evidence from him killing her parents that he's going to go away for life and she's not going to have to tell her story, which is good. I'm sure he messed with her and did things to her that she doesn't want to talk about. Only 13 years old. Thanks a lot.
That's ridiculous.
This is horrible. There is no God. Or if there is a God, he's definitely not in this multiverse.
Not anymore.
He's not here right now. He's out playing golf with someone else. Donald That's Trump. My theory. Anyway, went to the park today, and there was a lady there, obviously with her sister, and they were taking photos of a little girl who's obviously, she was 1 year old, because they had a rocking chair, they had bags and bags of clothes and fucking props, and a huge-ass balloon that said one, and they were going from place to place in the park taking pictures of this unfortunate child. And I think to this look, and this is what I have, this is how I feel about this, and this is my public service announcement for any parents or would-be parents. Nobody wants to see that many pictures of your child. Okay? Stop doing this.
That's fair.
Stop wasting your money and your time. Nobody wants to see that many. Who looks at those photos? The parents do?
Yeah.
Who prints those photos out? Just parents. They send them to the grandparents. They go up on the refrigerator. They might get put in a frame. Probably not. Your friends on Instagram, your friends on social media,
like the Facebook swipe,
don't care about your kid.
Nope.
Don't. Stop taking these pictures.
Nobody cares about your kid.
I think it's ridiculous.
There was a story on Dr. Phil. It was this lady. She's
fuck called. Dr. Phil, by the way.
Yeah, but it was interesting. I don't know if it's real. I don't know if any of it's real. But it was just like this lady. She had been pregnant 9 times, and every time she, like, puts a pillow on her stomach, she does the whole 9 yards, fakes it, and she always, when someone, like, finds out, she has to, like, kill off the baby and then has another one.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. That person needs to go see a psychiatrist.
Literally. And it's just, like, and she just keeps, you know, raking in money for this, blah, blah, blah. But she uses pictures of, like, other kids, and she finds them off of Facebook. So, like, she's basically digitally kidnapping pictures of other kids and using them as her own and then giving them cancer and crap.
That's a whole other thing, is if a person has a stillborn baby or a miscarriage, they'll take that photo with a little hand around the finger, or they'll take an actual photo.
Those are so weird, but don't put them online.
It's so unfortunate, and people put that shit online. It's like, I would oversharing.
Not want, I would not want a photograph of a dead baby on my timeline or anywhere near me. I would not want the image of a dead baby of mine or somebody that I know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that.
It doesn't need to go out there. That's for you. I get it. But
that's for you. That's for your grieving process. Yeah. Grieve like a normal person. Go to some therapy. Pick up needlepoint.
Talk to a weird woman that's your mother placed into your life and summon King Payman.
That's right. Oh, would you stop saying the name? I will, however, watch hours and hours of podiatry videos of people getting, like release of hammer toes or, like, really bad ingrown toenails.
I know what you're talking about.
Like, if my current job doesn't work out, I definitely need to go back to school to be, like, either a podiatrist assistant or...
Dad had to have that surgery, that ingrown toe surgery.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends in high school had to also...
Yeah, my older brother did, and they were like, "You'll never grow your toenails back." Guess what? They're back.
Are they ingrown?
Shit.
She's got zombie toenails.
Ew.
It's disgusting.
That's horrible.
It's like my dad won't even show his feet. He's so, like, he hates them. And they're gross. They are disgusting.
Oh, man.
So he always wears socks. Doesn't matter when. It could be at the beach. He's wearing socks.
Black socks with the sandals?
Always.
It's awesome.
Good. Good for your dad for taking that public service to heart and never showing
them.
Feet.
Yeah, I don't want to see them.
Nobody would.
There's a guy at my kid's school who is the custodian, and he obviously has clubbed feet from the way that he walks. And I always wish I could see his feet.
Oh my God.
No, you don't want to see it. Don't
just walk up
that.
To him. Show feet. Show your feet.
Send foot pics.
My next paycheck, I'm gonna be like, hey, I got $100 bill.
$100.
Keep your $100 bill invested in your children.
I want to see your feet.
No, it's children. We're all about the feet here.
Invest in your children, not the feet.
Of course
I will. The feet are a better investment.
Of course I will.
Your kid plays Fortnite all day.
Okay.
What's better, Fortnite for your kid or getting to see weird feet?
If I want to see clubbed feet, all I have to do is a Google search.
What?
Yeah, but what's better than the look of disappointment on your child's face when you don't buy him V-Bucks?
He doesn't need any more V-Bucks in his life. He needs to spend less time playing that goddamn game.
Break it.
Anyone who spends money on an app, like, you don't need to. You don't need to. That's how they get you sucked in.
Oh, for sure.
Like Candy Crush, where you can buy more candy, power-ups, whatever.
I got plenty of candy.
I have a friend who spends a lot of money on Clash of Clans.
I would love to be able to have the income where I had the option to spend a bunch of money on an app. I would not spend the money on the app. I just want to be able to have the disposable income.
I feel really sad for you. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
You just wish you were upper lower class?
Yeah.
That's okay. You'll get there.
Oh, so now Jake is completely naked.
Now I'm completely naked. I just took off my pants.
Ew. For the record, his pants are on.
Nobody cares.
Well,
nobody cares.
It's not really his pants. It's the bright pink banana hammock.
Disgusting. I want you to go see, what is it, Glass.
I haven't seen it. Don't you dare fucking spoil
so
that movie.
So good. Me
None
and
of you fucking spoiled
it.
That movie. I need to see it.
Really? Because you went to go see Aquaman. I'm never going to let you live that one down.
I didn't spoil Aquaman for you, slut.
Aquaman was good, too.
There's nothing there. Does he ride a horse or seahorse?
I'm not going to answer any of your questions.
Like on The Big Bang Theory, when they all dress up as the Justice League.
And they're all...
And Raj has to dress up as Aquaman.
Yeah.
And he hates it. It's a good episode. All right.
Into the Spider-Verse is a great movie also.
And I haven't seen that one yet either, asshole.
I haven't seen that one.
The new Halloween is also really good. That one just came on DVD not too long ago.
We saw
it on your Vudu?
It is on my Vudu.
Then I'll watch it.
Goddamn right you will. So is the original.
Yes. Try to watch that too.
It's on his Vudu. I'll give it a looky look.
Oh, I've been watching the new season of Punisher. I guess the last season of Punisher.
Don't say
that too loud, y'all. Renee will come busting through the door.
Talking about Punisher. He's going to come through the wall like the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Renee loves Punisher.
It's a good episode. I mean, it's a good show.
I'm almost done with the
It's a
season.
Lot. I remember he was watching it while I was still sleeping. It was just a lot of bullets.
Oh, yeah. There were a lot of bullets.
I just thought, like, turn it down. I want to sleep.
Yeah. Also, every time... I love John Bernthal's Punisher. He's such a good Punisher. But, like, every time he gets into a fight... He gets this, like, deep, gravelly yell, and he has to yell everything, and it's so cool. I love it.
Is Special Agent Madani?
Yes.
Is she in the second season?
Yeah.
Oh, she's so hot. She just is. No? You're not going to
She is. But you just made a weird expression. I want the viewers at home to note that Jake made a really weird expression when he said that.
No, I didn't.
I'd be glad you didn't see it.
Yeah. Please. Thank God. We both have a face for radio, so...
Definitely, for sure.
Yeah.
Don't lump me into that.
We didn't. I was talking about me and Jake. You're all right.
You look okay.
It's aight.
I look very fortunate. My better days are past. I agree with that. I made my peace with it.
Yeah.
They're gone.
I definitely have Polar Pop cheeks, so that's for sure.
Polar Pop cheeks.
I miss my dog.
I miss your dog too.
I know, I need to get him back. Next paycheck. Or not next paycheck, but paycheck after that.
The paycheck after that.
Because you have to put $200 in
tax returns.
Oh, yeah, tax return. Oh, that's a good one too.
Now that the government's back up.
I need to send in my tax papers.
Tax return? What?
Oh, yeah, I got to do my taxes.
I get a lot of crap a lot of times because I drive, you know, the Mercedes or whatever, and they'd be like, why did you do that? It's a bad financial decision. I'm not going to enjoy the car when I'm, like, older. Like, I'm not going to enjoy it as much as I enjoy it right now. Because when I'm older, I'm not going to care about what kind of car. There's going to be something else. I'm going to want a nice house.
That's true. I mean, when we worked together, I would always say, you know, they say that youth is wasted on the young, but wealth is definitely wasted on the old. Because how many old-ass guys did we know could barely even fucking walk? You know they can't get their dicks up anymore.
Yeah.
They can't lift the heavy shit they buy. They come in and drop $700 on some bullshit tool that they need, and then they jump into a $60,000 Ford F-150.
Yeah.
You know, that they parked all stupid crooked in the handicap spot.
It's like they don't enjoy it.
Or in the fire zone.
With their disabled tags, and they drive off in this fancy-ass truck.
But, so they're not enjoying it. They're like, oh, I wish I would have had that when I was young.
Yeah.
Finance it.
Yeah.
Pay it off.
They're at the
when
point
I can
now,
see over the fucking hood.
Yeah.
They're at the point now where it's like, well, my grandkids don't love me. Better spend all this money now while I still can.
That's right. Let me pay cash for this $70,000 truck.
Yep.
Maybe, you know, I think anytime I see somebody pay cash for something expensive, regardless of who they are, I immediately assume drug dealer.
No.
Definitely.
White privilege, that's what you should assume.
Okay, white privilege, that's a good point.
You should mug that person.
I should mug that person.
You should.
God, Jake is full of the good ideas.
Oh, yeah. Don't mug that. Renee was that person once.
Was he?
He paid cash at McDonald's and ended up getting robbed.
Oh my Jesus.
Who's going to rob the dude that goes to McDonald's
to pay cash?
Because if you go Renee and... was, I think the way Renee told it, he was kind of like talking about his money too much.
Oh
and
God.
So,
I love that.
Think happened? And then he like showed up to my house and his window was broken. I was like, are you kidding me? Great.
I'm worried about him in the world by himself.
Yeah, I am too. Look at all the stuff we have.
Look at this stuff. Isn't it?
Look at this graph.
Stop.
But at the same time, we enjoy it more now than we are ever in our lives. Because then we're going to have kids, and kids are going to ruin all our crap that we buy.
That's true.
You have kids, they ruin everything.
They ruin.
No. Jake
you
knows.
Love them. But just kidding. I put air quotes around you. Love
I
them.
Love them.
I love them, but they
no,
ruin
everything.
No, I do
everything. Love my kids, but it's like, yeah, I mean, I have a phone that's got a fucking broken display, and it's like, yeah, I don't have the money to, I don't have $100 to have the display fixed because my kids have good shoes.
Yeah.
And haircuts.
So, yeah.
Stuff like
that's what my mom says all the time. She's like, I'd be rich if I didn't have kids.
That's mean.
Oof.
She told me that's being an asshole.
She's obviously, she has kids. She's not going to throw us away to be rich, but she says that all the time.
Just to make you feel bad?
No, just to like tell you, like, wait to have kids so you can be rich for a little bit.
That is true.
Double income on yourselves.
That is true. Single income, no kids is the way to go.
Double income, no kids. Because I spent his money, too.
Good. Spend his money. All right, Dylan, what's your topic? Get off your phone, Dylan.
We're giving some life advice to people.
I know.
You want to buy it, just do it. You're going to enjoy it more now than you ever will.
Hell yeah. Coke, hookers, go for it, dog.
Don't. I was thinking more like a Gucci backpack.
I was like, Coke? Dr. Pepper? No, I did not think cocaine, sorry.
Buy the Gucci backpack.
Hookers and blow.
No.
Annabelle, I'm just trying to live bougie like you tell me to.
I'm kidding. For my social work class, we have to do 50 hours of volunteer work, and we get to pick kind of the agency you want to volunteer for. And so, like, right now, the only people that we talk to, whatever, are CPS and some kind of old folks home. And to be honest, CPS sounds pretty dope.
It's horrible.
No, it's horrible, but to, like, volunteer there and to get to go out on...
ride-alongs?
Yeah. That sounds... Dope.
So I worked for CPS as an investigator for a year.
Did you really?
I did.
I didn't know that.
I know. Don't talk about it.
You don't nice. Talk about it. Talk about it.
Is this one of your like haunted past things or like?
Most of what we did, I want to say seven. It was like 70-30. 70% of what we did was bullshit. Was bullshit allegations where like some lady and her cousin who lived in the duplex next to each other. Got drunk one night and got pissed off at each other, and so one of them calls and makes up all these allegations about how they smoke weed all the time in the house and the kids get left alone all the time. And then you go out and you have to do a full ass investigation, taking hours and hours of your time to interview the kids, to take photos, to interview the parents, to interview people who know them, collateral interviews. And it's just because they got upset at each other on a Friday night, got drunk, and started calling each other names.
Oh.
And, you know, you find out that nothing happened.
That's some dumb shit.
I know. And then, like, a month later, the one lady that you investigated on calls in the same kind of allegations to her cousin to get back at her. That was, like, 70% of my work.
Oh.
Every now and then, something comes up, and it's real, but hardly ever.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel it if I could open it up more.
Because those actual real cases were like, oh my god, this kid has a broken arm and stuff. That goes to like the special investigators who have more.
Yeah, I would say like probably higher.
Yes. Like if cops are going to be involved or, you know, there's going to be criminal charges, those things get reassigned to people who actually
do stuff. Does anybody feel that? Because I can't open it anymore.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Half the time it's just bullshit, like I said.
Just so people don't see in my window. I wish I had that way.
So my friend Joseph just texted me, and I'm in the process of getting him to listen. So hopefully by the time this gets out, he will listen. Shout out to my boy Turtle.
Right, in 3 weeks, in 3 weeks' time, he'll be like, fuck. Hey, how come there's no more new episodes?
Okay, I'm almost done with this new one.
And then
I'm
gonna... Are we two episodes behind now?
This is the third.
We've had three episodes. We've recorded three episodes since we pumped. Since it's been...
There's two episodes in the drive right now.
Annabelle, I thought she was on my side, goddammit.
I'm sorry. I speak the truth.
Fuck, okay. Well, this episode that I'm editing now is almost done. The only problem was, it's like, raw footage was like over... It was like 2.5 hours, okay?
Yeah.
It's a lot.
But you guys wanted longer episodes.
No, I know. It's good. I'm glad that we had long episodes. But it's just a matter of me having to go through and like... edit out all the ums and the stuttering and shit, and then go through and do all the like noise canceling for the background noise, and then volume, and then edit in EVP sounds that I've found.
Do you hear that
shit?
It's the Wambulance calling you.
Hey, Jake?
Just kidding. Fuck you.
I like how he defends himself before you say anything. Like, he doesn't want to be heartbroken by your defense, so he just automatically builds a wall before you can say
fuck
anything.
You, fat man.
You can tell I've been married twice. I know how to do that. I'm a fucking master at that right there.
Defend yourself
before you start.
Back.
Before you start, I'm going to let you finish, but let me throw up my wall.
Can't hear you. La, 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 la.
Can't hear you. I got to go.
Earmuffs.
You hear that kid crying in the other room?
Yeah, it's you.
It is.
Being a bitch.
No, that's not it.
Anyway.
So there he goes again.
I'm all when it comes to being married, I'm all about the Pyrrhic victories.
Bing.
Like, I won that argument. Nobody wants to talk to me in the house, but I won that argument.
Me too. So anyway. We've been bullshitting for a while.
I know.
We've got our window situation fixed.
It's open. Slightly.
Maybe we should get on the topics.
I can feel it, but I'm right now.
I feel it.
I can feel it a little bit. It's fine. Wafting this way. All right, I'm going to start my topic. So, as of the date that we are recording this, which is late January, I'm not going to expose myself to exact dates so I don't get hit with scrutiny.
How many weeks has it been since then?
Suck my fucking dick.
Now they're just barely... Is this our Valentine's Day episode?
If we're lucky.
God damn it, Dylan.
Probably not.
God damn you, Dylan.
What's and after?
Your battery is running low.
Oh, crap. Bink. Oh, no. I have a charger.
Oh, the charger's over here, I think.
Oh, is that one? I was like, I think I left it plugged in over there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, her laptop?
Yeah.
We've already bantered too long, but I have the best dead body story.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Do you
want to
hear
it? Gotta have it, yeah.
Okay, now here's the thing. I've had a lot of different jobs because basically if you've ever played an RPG, you can get to a point where you decide, you know what? I don't want to be a rogue, blacksmith, blah, 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 blah. I want to respec all my points. And it's like, are you sure you want to respec your points? You're going to go back to zero. And I've done that in my actual
life. Are you really comparing real life to an RPG right now?
Fuck you, Dylan.
I'm just cool. I'm making sure.
Yes, I am. I've respec'd my points a couple of times.
Just... make sure.
You do you, man. Just keep going. Go for it.
Never mind. I don't want to get started now.
No, I want to hear the dead body story.
Okay, so I was working at this assisted living in San Antonio. There were three different buildings. There was an independent living building where they hardly needed any help. Elderly people living in apartments is basically what it was. It was an apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
And then the assisted living where they needed more help, and then there was a memory care unit for the Alzheimer's people. I was the director of the memory care unit, but I was also CPR certified. We were walkies so we could contact each other and all such stuff. So I'm walking with one of the other activity directors to one of the buildings because we were going to go to lunch to plan the calendar for the next month. And I hear, oh, code blue, independent living, room, blah, 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 room 227, whatever. And code blue, of course, means that someone's having cardiac arrest. So we run over there. I go up the stairs and I go into this room, and it was this gentleman, I forgot his name, Mr. Brown, I don't care. Mr. Brown spent all of his time in his room. He had a little motorized wheelchair. He wore oxygen all the time. The only time they ever came to check on him was when they gave him meds in the morning, and they would check to see if he wanted to go down to eat lunch or bring his lunch to him. And that was pretty much he just stayed in his room, watched television. Well, they had given him his meds at 8 o'clock, and it's like 11 o'clock or almost noon at this point. The lady goes in to see if he wants to come down to eat, and he has had a massive heart attack. He's fallen out of his chair. He's landed on his face, broken his nose, and he is on the ground.
Jesus.
So I walk in, go to the other side of the bed, and he's on the ground. He's a pretty big guy. And I roll him over. There's a huge pool of blood in the carpet. And I roll him over, and all the blood has pooled to the front of his face, so his face is purple and black.
Ugh.
And the nasal cannula for his oxygen is blowing blood bubbles out.
Oh, no.
But it's pretty obvious that he is dead. I mean, he is gone. So I look at the girl who had called for the code blue. She's a CNA, and she is just white as a sheet, scared. And I say, is he a DNR? Is he a DNR? You know, do I need to start CPR on this guy? And she's like, I don't know. So I say, go get his chart, and I tell the girl who's with me, go to the fire extinguisher. Because in the fire extinguisher, we would keep those face masks that you use for CPR.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes and she gets one, and I open it up and I walk in, and then the CNA comes in and she says, he's not a DNR, which means technically I should be starting compressions and rescue breathing on this guy.
Yeah.
So I start to try to open his airway the way that you do, and the actual nurse shows up and he walks in and he goes, don't even worry about it, he's gone. And I stand up, and I had a big old stain of blood on my khakis, on my knee. And, you know, we went into the office. We closed the door, and we went to the office, and he called the family, or no, he told our administrator over the phone, and then he called the nursing home. I mean, not the nursing home, the funeral home. Because one of the things that they would do is that most everybody who lived in that assisted living and independent living facility already had their funeral plans set. So instead of calling the ambulance and trying to send him over there, they were like, this guy's gone.
Yeah.
Bring the coroner, but basically just bring the non-emergency ambulance because it's done. And then I had to use, because I still had to work the rest of the day, they flushed my khakis with hydrogen peroxide to try to get the stain out. And we still went to eat lunch, Chili's. I had the Buffalo Ranch chicken sandwich.
Okay.
With fries and the Dr. Pepper. But yeah,
that's okay. My story. That's an interesting story,
mm-hmm.
and a weirdly accurate depiction of lunch.
Exactly. I can still remember what I had.
You don't remember the guy's name, but you remember
no, what you had for lunch that day. There was another time when one of my other residents died, and the family was on their way, but she had a shared room, and so we were going to move her to one of the empty private rooms and lay her in the bed so the family could grieve and spend time with them. And so I walked into the room, and we had a wheelchair, and I look at one of the CNAs, and I'm like, I'll get her shoulders, you get her legs, so we can move her. And they're like, we don't want to touch a dead body. I'm like, let's go, you have to. So we picked her up, and as we did, there was still air in her lungs trapped, and so we picked her up, and she goes,
oh, Jesus.
And it freaked everybody out. And I just, I'm grossly calm in those situations. And I looked at the girl as she had run to the doorway again. And I was like, we've already checked your pulse. We've checked for her heartbeat. It's just trapped air. Get over here and help me get her in this chair so we can take her to the other room. So
that was a good one, though.
There you go.
That's horrible. That's
as bad, CNAs, but... you have to train to actually clean a dead body. That's like one of the training things you have to do. To like how to swab and clean, close the eyes, things like that. So, like that's all in the test. I hated that part because it's so weird. Because you do it on a dummy, you don't do it on a person. So it's like, how do you put yourself in a situation of like if it was an actual person? Like you're not actually prepared to do it.
Yeah,
it's gross.
That's whack.
It's real weird.
We had another guy who died when in my assisted living. His legs were all, they were like
stiff.
Bent. They were bent from when he was. When he was in the dying process, they had bent like that, and so they were like that. And one of the undertakers who came to pick him up had mentioned to one of my CNAs, they were like, oh yeah, you know, we'll have to straighten his legs. It'll probably break his hips, but I mean, he's already gone.
Yeah.
And my CNA was really upset about it.
I would be too. You shouldn't just like say that to people.
I know. They have some dark humor in that.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Anyway.
Speaking of dark stuff and dead bodies.
Yes, let's hear it.
So I had started this by saying, late January when we were talking about this, this is making a bit of a resurgence, which I didn't find out until I started doing the research. It was just kind of coincidental. I'm going to talk today about Dennis Rader, a.k.a. BTK.
You are?
I'm talking about Dennis Rader.
There is so much here. I love it.
And the reason why I say it's kind of coming up again is because Dennis Rader's daughter just published a tell-all book.
Yes.
That talked about her experience dealing with her father, who she loved very much and trusted, figuring out who he was and like how she came to accept it and understand what happened and deal with it, deal with being the daughter of one of America's most notorious serial killers.
That's a pretty controversial book, isn't it? I mean, people are pretty upset about it.
I don't know. It just came out not too long ago.
If she makes even $5 on this, there's going to be survivors.
I mean, yeah.
I'm not survivors, but family members are going to be upset about it.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, like, yeah, you guys are families of victims. This was her dad. Mm-hmm. If anybody has a right to talk about BTK, it's her.
I guess so.
I mean, you know.
Go ahead.
It didn't seem like it was going to be, like, profiting off of, you know, victims and stuff.
Yeah.
The book is called A Serial Killer's Daughter, My Story of Faith, Love, and Overcoming. And it's actually coming out in 2 days from today. It's going to be something. But there is a lot of buzz about it. And she's done some, like, interviews for People magazine.
Yeah, because this was familiar with me that the book was coming out.
Yeah. But we're here to talk about Dennis Rader and who he was. BTK.
Oof. Horrible.
Yes.
There's my catchphrase. Horrible, horrible.
Horrible. We need to get that on a t-shirt.
Horrible.
Spelled with an A. Horrible.
Horrible. Because of the way that I say it.
Yes. Annabelle, how familiar are you with BTK?
I was like, I don't know what it is.
Well, you're about to find out.
Are you looking it up right now?
Yeah, definitely.
Then why are you on your phone?
Because I have to do chemistry homework.
Oh my god, why are you still in college?
I told Dylan, I was like, you can come over, but I gotta do homework.
We've been here for 2 hours, you didn't do your homework already, young lady?
We're playing video games.
Why are you waiting until the last minute to do your homework?
Always. What's the fun of being in college if I'm not gonna wait till the last minute?
Annabelle knows what's up. I'm not even in college if I get that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's just the first assignment. Like,
that's
it's not
my parenting
big deal.
Moment of the night.
But I've been like locked out of my account for like days. Okay, keep going, sorry.
Anyway. Dennis Rader. So, Rader was born in Pittsburgh, but he was raised and spent most of his life in Wichita, Kansas. This is an interesting point where he differs from other serial killers, is that he claims to have had a normal life. He was the oldest of four children, had an average family life. He wasn't abused physically or sexually or mentally or any of that. He seemed like an average kid. However, he did, a little bit later in life, start showing psychopathic tendencies like hanging small animals to death.
So it just started later in life.
Yep. But not because of trauma or, you know, anything like that. Just kind of one of those things that develops. Like how I'm sad all the time. Anyway, so other than, you know, hanging animals, he was a relatively normal kid. And in 1971... he marries a woman named Paula Dietz. He goes on to have two children with her, Carrie and Brian. Carrie is the one that's writing the book.
Okay.
Which, like I said, comes out... by the time this episode's out, it'll already be out. We'll hear reviews on it, and I'm sure lots of controversy and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, 1971, marries Paula. He goes on to have two kids with her. In 1974... Rader commits his first murders. And I say murders because on January 15th, Dennis Rader stalked and killed a family of four.
The Otero family.
Mm-hmm. Julie and Joseph Otero, who were the mom and dad, and their two children, Josephine and Joseph Jr., who were 11 and 9, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
He broke into their home in the early morning, tying up and strangling to death the four inside the home. The oldest Otero child was 15 years old. His name was Charlie. He was safe at school. And Rader knew this because he'd been stalking the family for weeks, learning their schedule.
Charlie Otero has dealt with some demons in his life. Some survivor guilt.
I'm sure he has.
Anger issues towards Dennis Rader. There's a whole documentary called I Survived BTK. And it's him, and it's just, It's very difficult to watch. You feel so bad for the guy.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, just reading this, like, yeah. I feel bad for him.
And all of those emotions and that and all that pain that he has, he's just always just right below the surface. When in the documentary, he cries about it. You know, what if I had been there? If I, you know, that maybe there was something I could have done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, had he been there, he only would have gotten killed. But yeah. I understand what he's thinking and what he means by that. Anyway, Charlie was safe at school. Josephine, the daughter who was 11 years old, she was found in the basement and her body showed signs of sexual assault. The police found that Rader left semen at the scene.
Yes.
And he had written about killings throughout his time being a murderer. And he had said at one point that he got immense sexual pleasure from the Otero murders. But he left, like I said, he left Charlie at school, so that's what Charlie had to come home to. He had to, you know, come home from an average day at school, find his sister sexually assaulted in the basement, and the rest of his family strangled to death.
Yeah, yeah.
And tied up.
If you don't want to hear anymore, you should probably fast forward through it. But BTK did some terrible things.
BTK's... I mean,
should we talk? I mean, I know details about the Otero family. You want to hear them? It gets real dark.
I very much want to hear them. Let's just go ahead and give like a. If you don't want to listen, yeah, you should definitely fast forward.
You should definitely fast forward at least 30 seconds. In the documentary on Netflix, Charlie Otero talks about how he went down into the basement and found his sister strangled, and that there were just multiple pools of ejaculate all around her.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, at one point, that's the part that you should not listen to if you don't want to listen to it. But at one point, one of his theories was that BTK had help doing it. Because it seemed like there were multiple. Like, how do you break into the house and subdue an entire family and systematically kill them all?
Yeah,
you know, unless you're, you know, how does one person do all of that? But it's easy to subdue a family with fear.
Yeah,
especially if you subdue the father, and I'm sure you'll talk about it too. There were a lot of times where BTK would break in, and he would bind the victim, and then he would, you know, in the idea that I'm not going to hurt you, I'm not going to kill you, and then of course then he goes on to kill them.
Yeah, and he's. Not like, you know, this huge domineering figure. Like, when I talked about Richard Kuklinski, that dude was almost 300 pounds. He was over 6 foot tall. Mm-hmm. He was a big man. He was able to easily overpower. Dennis Rader is just kind of average-looking dad dude.
He was, with the dad mustache and the dad bod.
With the dad mustache and the white man 70s glasses.
And the white man crown of shame balding powder.
Yeah. So, yeah, like you were saying.
He kills one family.
Kills the family, leaves DNA evidence. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, though, this is the 70s, early-ish 70s. So DNA wasn't really a big thing then. And right. The cops had no idea who did it. Right. So Rader, at one point, got so frustrated with the police not figuring out who he was or like having any idea that he started writing notes.
And leaving them.
Yeah.
Giving clues to the police through telephone calls of where to find the notes. Mm-hmm. And he's the one who told them that I want to be called BTK.
Yeah, and he talks about that in the first letter which I'm about to get to.
Okay.
So Rader wrote a note describing in detail the murders of the Otero family.
Details only he would know.
Yeah, details only the killer would know.
They knew it was actually him.
So you can say, like, okay, this dude is actually legit, not just some weirdo who's wanting to claim credit, you know? Mm-hmm. But in this first letter, this is when he establishes himself as the BTK killer.
Which stands for?
Stands for bind, torture, kill. So, if you didn't know, now you know. Mm-hmm. Bind, torture, kill, which was his MO for all the families. He left this first note inside an engineering book at the library, and then he made a call to the police to let them know where it was and where to look. Obviously, they found it. They knew that this was going to be a serial killer named BTK. And then we go to
So the Otero family murders were committed January 15th. Now we go up to April 4th, 1974, that same year. Raider breaks into Catherine Bright's house and waits for her to come home. However, he was caught off guard when Bright came home with her brother Kevin, which he wasn't expecting. So he attacks both of them, ties them up in separate rooms, and then he goes to strangle Kevin. Now, Kevin fights back. He's able to actually, like, almost get free, and Raider decides enough is enough. He shoots Kevin twice. However, Kevin survives and manages to run out of the house.
Fuck.
Yeah. This man was just beaten and shot twice by BTK, manages to get out of the house, like escape the bindings, leave the house, and go to find police. Raider goes on to kill Catherine.
Oh, that's horrible.
I know. He has to leave his sister.
God damn.
Because there's nothing he can do other than get the police.
God damn it.
Raider kills Catherine. Of course, she starts fighting back, too. Raider stabs her 11 times and then leaves before the cops are able to show up. It was noted later that Kevin described Raider as an average-sized guy with a bushy mustache and, quote, psychotic eyes. In November of 1974, which is, again, the same year, Dennis Raider gets a job at none other than
ADT
Home Security.
That's right.
He gets a job there while he's also working on getting his degree in criminal justice.
This guy is a human predator.
Yeah. So that was 1974 for you. Jump ahead a couple years. 1977, BTK kills two women, Nancy Fox and Shirley Vian. So there's not really anything super exciting about them, and it's horrible that they died.
I was going to say, it's horrible.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's terrible, but it wasn't like a story like, you know, he shot somebody twice and they left to escape and they got some sort of a description.
He breaks into their house, he waits for them to come home, he binds them up, tortures them, rapes them, and then kills them.
Yes.
Did he rape any of these women?
Either
of these two, do you think?
Some of them were sexually assaulted.
Some of them.
I don't remember. I didn't get much info on Nancy or Shirley,
right.
But I know some of the people were sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was 1977, two murders there. Now we jump up to 1979, and Anna Williams is being stalked for weeks when Raider decides to finally kill her.
Isn't she in her 70s?
No. This is not that lady.
Okay.
This is a young girl.
A young girl, okay.
Or young woman. He breaks into her house. However, Williams is taking too long to get home. Like, he's just sitting there waiting for hours, and she's showing no signs of being back. So Raider steals a few items from her house and leaves. Why did he steal things, you ask? I'm glad you asked, Jake. And I'm glad you asked, Annabelle.
Is it because he wants trophies?
No. He stole these things so that he could mail the objects back to Anna and write her letters about how she should be dead already.
Oh.
And how close he came to murdering her. That's not funny.
It's like a sick joke. He's like frustrated. He's like, man, like, I just want to murder her, but she's like not showing up. It's like he's being stood up to an appointment.
You think that was bad? There's another one that he does that's almost the same way that he just...
And like, she must be terrified out of her mind receiving these letters.
Oh, she's
and he's like, I'm so frustrated. He's like, I have these appointments set with her.
I would move to a different state if that happened.
No, I'd move to the country. If I could...
If
bye,
life.
Yeah. See you later.
Goodbye, life. I'm off to Australia.
I hear Quebec is really great this time of year.
It's like, I would literally rather be in Australia.
Yeah. Everything in Australia wants to kill you. But at least they won't steal your shit from in your house and mail it back to you.
God,
along
you
with
really
the
letters. Stole.
I don't even want to think about that.
I'd be really pissed if you stole one of her Xbox controllers.
Just the
controllers. All her left socks.
All of your...
Motherfucker. We already have one that hardly works, and then the other one, you know, it's like, we can't even do anything without the Xbox controller.
And he like takes the one he knows is a good one.
Like, couldn't you have killed one of the cats instead?
Oh my god, Jake.
Or both. I really hate emptying litter boxes.
I mean, that's fair. Me too.
Take my cat. Please take my cat.
So we're going to ignore everything that Jake just said.
Right.
Okay, so Anna Williams that whole incident was 1979. Now he's taken a big gap here. This is 1985, and this is the one that you were thinking of.
So 6 years he doesn't kill anyone.
Yeah, 6 years.
And it wasn't because he was still married, right?
Yeah, he was married. He had kids. You know, he was just living the family life.
That's just strange because, you know, you have stuff where they take time off, but it's because they go, you know, as an investigator, like, well, he hasn't killed anybody. Maybe he died. Maybe he's in prison. Maybe he moved.
Yeah.
This guy was just there dormant, basically.
Yeah, no, that was one of the weird things about Rader is that he took so much time. Like, there was 1 year where he killed, like, three different groups of people and then, you know, took a couple years off and then killed two people 1 year and then took a couple years off, just killed one person, and then took 6 years off after not even killing Anna Williams. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you'll talk about it, but during this time, people were getting alarm systems installed.
Yeah, by Dennis Rader and ADT, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is just...
to try to protect themselves from him.
I know, and he's there putting it up. Ugh, it's just...
That reminds me of the Thomas Harris novel, Red Dragon.
I love Red Dragon.
Which is a prequel to The Silence of the Lambs. It talks about Hannibal Lecter. Mm-hmm. The serial killer in Red Dragon selects his victims because... he works for a company that, and of course you can understand, the book was written back in the 80s. He works for a company that will take Super 8 home videos and convert them to VHS for the families. So he's the guy who looks at all these videos. So he's selecting his victims by looking at the movie, by looking at their home movies. And because he's looking at the home movies, he knows how many people they have in their household, whether they have dogs or cats. He can see the layout of the homes in certain, you know, in certain of these videos. And so he's able to research the families.
Yeah.
And you know.
Which props to Thomas Harris for being a great writer. But he's also a great writer. Like, that one's creepy. That's a real creepy one. Because you're like giving away personal information, but you don't even realize it as being like, here's all the information you need to butcher my family.
Yeah. And people do that all the time on social media all the time. You know, it's like, oh, so-and-so got their house broken into. I wonder why. Probably because they threw it on Snapchat that they were out of state for 3 days.
Yeah,
going to Hawaii for a week, and it's like, you want to be robbed.
That's why I think it's really annoying that a lot of neighborhoods will post, like, neighborhood day out, or, like, big meeting for the whole neighborhood, like, on this specific day, on this specific time. It's like, okay, now you know that a bunch of these houses are not going to be occupied. I can just break in and take whatever the fuck I want.
That's a good idea. I'll do that next time.
Yeah, go for it.
National Night Out, they call it.
Yeah. We don't do that, so stay away from my house.
Also Halloween, because in our town, not a lot of people go trick-or-treating in neighborhoods. Most of the people go to harvest festivals at churches.
Yeah.
Trunk-or-treats.
Trunk-or-treats. Trunk-or-treat. Anyway, back to BTK. This is such a happy topic. So we're in 1985. He strangles to death a woman named Maureen Hedge. She was a woman that lived only 6 houses away from his own home.
That's ballsy.
That's ballsy. You know what else is ballsy? That after he murders her, he relocates her body to his local church, where he photographs her body in various poses, before relocating her to another place where he finally dumps her.
That's fucking disgusting.
Yeah. Due to the body being moved around, police never really connected it to BTK until he later confessed to it.
Yeah, because it's against his MO.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this was a woman that lived close to him. He took her to a church where he was a big member of.
Yeah.
This guy was also, you know, a good Christian guy, you know. He went to church all the time. He was one of the leaders in his church.
That's right.
And he took her to the same church, posed her dead body, took a bunch of pictures, and then dumped her somewhere else. So that was 1985. Then Rader kills Vicky Wedgerow? I don't know how to say her name. I'm going to go with that. He kills Vicky and Dolores Davis before 1991. He then gets hired as a compliance officer for his neighborhood. So he leaves ADT, gets hired as a compliance officer in his neighborhood. Basically, he's a huge asshole, and he got on everyone's ass. He was, like, super strict with the, like, little rules, and he's talked about or he had talked about how he loved having control, even though it was over, like, just one little community.
Yeah.
But he was such an asshole that he was known in the neighborhood for when people's animals got taken out of there, or, like, when animals escaped and ran out, mm-hmm. he would have the animals put down.
God.
Yeah.
He was that jerk.
Again, with the cruelty of the animals.
Mm-hmm. Like, imagine, Annabelle, if you're chilling at home, little baby Pappas runs out.
And then someone's like, yeah, I'm going to murder your dog.
Yeah, and some dude's just like, fuck this dog. This dog's going to die.
Yeah. No. Like a strongly worded letter.
Mm-hmm.
With poison in it.
There you go. It's like those glitter bombs, but it's all just acid.
It's like, you murdered my puppy. There's no way you're getting away with that.
Lucky for us, Pappas will never die.
No, he's fine. He's doing great. He's thriving.
Good boy.
He's doing good.
So anyway, yeah, he's an asshole compliance officer for his neighborhood. Now, on the 30th anniversary of the Otero murders, he begins communication with local police and some newspapers.
30 years.
This man has been murdering for 30 years and has not been caught. So, in these letters that he's sending out, he includes details about the murders, information on the victims, and every now and then, word search puzzles with clues.
Mm-hmm.
He typed his letters and sent them to a variety of copiers, making it harder to trace back to him. And this part is just fucking bonkers. Obviously, this is a lot of work. You know, you have to go to all these different places to make all these different copies of letters. So at one point in one of his letters, he actually asks, like, he writes in asking if floppy disks are traceable.
To the police.
Yeah. And he's like, guys, be honest. Are floppy disks traceable? Of course the police say no. So he sends in a floppy disk, which police immediately trace back to Rader, noticing that it's registered with the Christ Lutheran Church. That same church where he photographed Hedge's body.
Went straight to his church.
Yep, went straight to his church because it was tied to a computer that they had there, and it was tied to his name. And when police went onto the church's website, they found not only just, you know, Dennis Rader as a guy, they saw Congregation President Dennis Rader.
That's right.
Yep.
Glory hallelujah. No, I'm kidding. It's not the church's fault. Or is it?
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum.
So, obviously, police have traced this back. They pretty much...
got him.
Certainly, yeah. They've got him.
They got him.
But they wanted to be absolutely sure. And they needed to test Rader's DNA, but they didn't want to alert him. So they subpoenaed his daughter's pap smear.
That's something else right there.
That's something else.
That is evil.
But when they did that, they were able to draw a clear DNA connection from his daughter's pap smear to the semen that he left at certain crime scenes. Mm-hmm. At various crime scenes, actually.
Does that mean what I think it means?
What?
Wait, like...
No, they share DNA because they're family.
Okay, it was like, what?
Not like he...
Yeah, I would say it was like, did he... Daughter. What?
Okay. No, I don't think he like... ever... They would be like, he's a person of interest, so we're going to get his daughter's DNA, mm-hmm. and we're going to match it with the semen that he left at the scene and say, yeah, this person is like a percentage chance that there's a high percentage chance that the semen that we found at this crime scene matches a relative of the cells that we found in this capsule.
Yeah.
So and this was all around the time floppy disks were around?
Yeah, this was the 80s.
This was the 80s.
This was the 90s, actually.
Was it?
That's crazy. Why are there so many unsolved crap from the 80s if this was okay?
Because some of that, it depends on the samples, whether they've been corrupted.
That's true.
Yeah, because I mean, you can take DNA samples, but if they're improperly stored or if it's been, you know, long enough and they're not viable sources of DNA anymore...
That's
you know,
true.
There's a bunch of
it just
variables there. But yeah, there are a lot of
unsolved crap.
Unsolved murders. But anyway, they were able to draw a clear DNA connection from the samples that they had to Dennis Rader's daughter, which means they got him.
You got him.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
They found him.
February 5th, 2005. Dennis Rader is arrested. So it takes until 2005 until he is arrested.
That is a long ass time.
While on trial, he confesses to all 10 murders, but the judge demands details for every murder. Like, you know, he doesn't just take him at face value. He wants the information. Dennis Rader obliges, and for about an hour, Dennis Rader talks in great detail about the murders, incredibly casually, as if he was discussing what he had for lunch the next day or something.
Yeah.
Ew.
One of the things that I've read about BTK is while he rambled on for an hour, that the district attorney said it was almost like listening to someone's Oscar acceptance speech. No remorse, just really like, yeah, I did this. Like, he would be like,
yeah,
so this morning I woke up and I didn't eat any breakfast because we didn't have any cream cheese for the bagels. So instead I went to go, you know, just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is horrible.
Totally flat. I mean, yeah, he did not give a shit.
Definite characteristics of, like, a sociopath. Just, like, no emotion, no remorse.
Yeah.
Doesn't care about the law, doesn't care about consequences.
Didn't give a shit.
Wow.
Not a single shit.
That is a crazy thing to witness. Those cops must have been mortified.
Oh, yeah. You know who else was mortified? His family. Think about his two young kids and his wife who had... They had no idea.
Yeah, they had just had a pastor dad.
Yeah, congregation president, father, who seems like, a hard ass when it comes to the rules.
But
you know, dang. they didn't know he was BTK.
No, yeah.
Nobody
suspected it at all, which is crazy to me.
Exactly. How well he was able to hide it from everybody, while also not really hiding at all, like leaving DNA all over the place, writing letters, you know. He sent in a floppy disk in the 90s, and it took until 2005 to get him. Or he may have sent the floppy disk, like, 2000. Mm-hmm. But he sent the floppy disk in, and it still took a while. He was able to kill people for, you know, like...
And during that waiting period.
Exactly.
Which is... What the heck?
The first murders were 1974. He didn't get arrested until 2005.
Wow. It's like me knowing you. It's like, I know a lot about you, but what if... Like, you could be a killer, and I'd be like, wow, I would have never seen that.
Really? You don't have any idea. Any
no suspecting clue. I don't want to seem like a dummy when it comes out you're a murderer.
You're like Dylan Cadenhead on, you know...
CNN.
Yeah, I pop up on the news, and you're like, oh, I can see it.
And be like, I knew all along.
You didn't say shit. I'm going to throw you under the bus.
I had my suspicions, but I did not have clear evidence. Is there a reward? Can I get a reward, please?
There's
a reward to turn you in and get in money.
Fuck you.
I'm going to get LASIK.
Some of that better in my commissary account.
I like how you're not going to fix your phone. You're going to fix your eyes.
Fix my eyes, then I'll fix my phone.
There you go.
Yes, I'll send you some commissary money so you can buy ramen.
Dope. I'm all about that beef and chicken ramen.
Ugh, gross.
Yeah, no, I'm not about that anymore.
Okay, fine, guys. Anyway. So, Dennis Rader. We're not quite done with the story yet. Dennis Rader sentenced to...
Why do you like that? It's a great story.
No, I'm just kidding. It's just a joke.
Anyway. Dennis Rader was sentenced to 10 consecutive life sentences due to Kansas not having the death penalty at the time. And, of course, after learning all of this, during the trial, Dennis Rader's wife divorces him and takes the kids.
Good. I hope so.
Yeah.
Kansas still doesn't have the death penalty.
Does it not?
Mm-mm. It's one of the only states that doesn't.
That's dumb.
No, it's not dumb. Kansas is just like, we don't need to. Send them to Oklahoma.
Send them to Oklahoma. Just kick them across the border and let them deal with it.
Basically.
So... That's basically the end of BTK. Like I said...
He is still in prison. He's still alive. How old is he now?
Google. Dennis Rader is currently 73 years old.
Wow.
As old as my dad.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, that's basically the end of BTK's story, other than his daughter writing the book.
Tell-all.
The tell-all book.
That's just disgusting, because he hasn't even spent that much time... in prison, and he's not going to spend that much time in prison before he dies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he might have 10, 15 more years. It's just not... I mean, that doesn't...
Definitely not doing it justice.
No, it's not.
But, yeah. So, Dennis Rader, horrible person, not going to spend near enough time in jail. But there is one more little interesting tidbit that I wanted to share here.
Mm-hmm.
According to Wikipedia's page on BTK, there is a special list, like a little Microsoft document, Excel document, of his victims. And it says their name, sex, age, date of death, place of death, cause of death, and weapon used. I'm not going to go through all of that for all of them, but I did want to give you guys at least the names and the cause of death and weapon used. So we're going to start with Joseph Otero. This was one of the first ones, the dad of the first one, suffocated with a plastic bag. Julia Otero, his wife, strangled with a rope. The son, Joseph Jr., suffocated with a plastic bag. Josephine Otero was hanged from the drain pipe with a rope.
Yes.
Catherine Bright, the next one, she was the one that was stabbed in the abdomen repeatedly with a knife. Shirley Vian, she was strangled with a rope. Nancy Fox, these were the two in 1977, she was strangled with a belt. Maureen Hedge, who was the older woman that lived near him, she was strangled with his hands. Vicky was strangled with nylon stockings. And Dolores was strangled with pantyhose. So the oldest person that he murdered was actually not Maureen Hedge. It was Dolores, who was 62.
Right.
She was the oldest person he killed. The youngest person he killed was Joseph Jr., who was 9 years old, mm-hmm. and he suffocated him to death in a plastic bag.
We didn't talk about the one where he was stalking a 60-year-old woman, and
that was Dolores.
Was that the one where he didn't kill her? No.
No, not where he didn't kill
there's
her.
There's a story, and he mentioned it when he was in court, that he had been waiting, he had been stalking this older lady, he was waiting at her house, and he would take time to figure out, okay, she's going here, and she always comes back at this amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's waiting for her. She just so happened to, go out of her schedule and go and do something else that night, and so she did not come back at the time that she usually does. She goes to church, she leaves her house at 6 o'clock, she's gone until 9.
Mm-hmm.
One of those things. She always goes to Dairy Queen, and she eats with her little group, and then she comes home. Well, she didn't come home at the regular time that she did, and he said that he was beyond upset that he was not able to kill her.
Oh, yeah. He got very mad when his schedule was interrupted.
And at one point, they interviewed him, and they asked him, and they were like, how would people avoid being... Basically, they said, how would people avoid being killed? And he's like, people need to realize that if someone is stalking you...
They learn the schedule quickly.
They learn their schedule quickly. People take the same routes to and from work. People do the same things over and over and every day. People have a set schedule, whether they realize it or not. We're on autopilot for the most part. You go and you do these things. And it's like, it would be really easy for somebody to learn your routine and then be waiting for you somewhere.
Ew.
Yeah.
Which is just scary.
I don't usually take the same route. I take the same few routes from work to home. But then I always make sure there's nobody behind me, when I open the gate or whatever.
Stuff like that?
Yeah. I do little things like that.
That's one of the only benefits of working in retail is a constantly changing schedule.
That's true, too. Yeah, it's never the same. Mm-hmm. And some people will call and ask. They'll be like, oh, when is so-and-so working? And I'd be like, I'm not going to tell you that.
Right. Oh, they're dead.
I don't, yeah. Yeah. When a collection agency calls for me,
yeah,
she doesn't work here anymore. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I'm not there.
No, she doesn't.
I'm not there to field those calls anymore.
Huh?
Sorry. I used to tell them that all the time.
Oh, yeah. No, but anyone will cover for me now. Anytime anyone asks for me, they're like, oh, she's just not here.
Mm, that's good.
Yeah.
We all know your dirty secrets.
Because, I will call you when I call you, but you don't need to call me at work. That's just ridiculous.
That's right.
That is. That's some fucked up shit. So, anyway, that was my bit on Dennis Rader.
The BTK killer.
Dennis Rader, BTK, bind, torture, kill. Also, PSA, mix it up. Don't get stuck in a schedule. You're leaving work one day, feeling a little excited, want to get out of the norm.
Go to Target. Go to Target.
Stop and buy to Target.
Go to Target.
Freddy's Frozen Custards.
That's right.
Just
go switch up your schedule.
Just go do your thing, man. Just be spontaneous.
Also,
don't
listen,
get murdered.
Listen to your instincts.
Yeah, instincts
always
are big. If you think you're being followed or watched, keep
drive
an
to
eye
the
on
precinct.
That
shit. Drive to the closest precinct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you think you're being, like, if you catch somebody following you or something, like, on the way home, don't just go straight home. Go to a public place or, like, a precinct or something.
Always.
Well, I mean, now we have cell phones, so it's like, call 911 and tell them where you are and that you're headed to the police department. Describe the car that's following you.
Yep.
Yeah, I
always
definitely
go to the precinct.
Do that. But I've just, you know, I've thought about it some, and I'm like, I'm sure there are people whose first instinct is, there's somebody following me, I gotta get home and get safe.
No.
Don't
tell them
where
you
live.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Don't do that.
That's a big no-no. That's
and
bad.
And fill your car up with gas. Don't let it be on empty all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Never get caught on empty. I don't like for my tank to even get to, like, the 1/8 full.
Or go to Bucky's. There's always a million people at Bucky's.
Yeah, you're right.
Go to Bucky's.
No. So many. So it does not take any time for you to be abducted, put in a trunk,
true,
or stabbed 15 times.
True, true, true.
And that person may not even care that there's 100 people around and
yeah,
there's 95 cameras. They might just want to be able to kill you. So it's just scary.
It's awful. There's this new thing where it's like people are getting pulled over in neighborhoods by unmarked cars. And there was this one, no, but there was this one story of this girl. She was about to be pulled over by an unmarked car, and she thought it was like an unmarked police car, but it had a yellow light instead of like the red and blue. And so it looked totally sketchy, totally suspicious. And so she called 911 and asked, and 911's like, no, that's not an unmarked car. There's nobody in that area patrolling, blah, blah, blah. And so they ended up sending cops, and he was like a registered sex offender accused of, you know, all this junk. And like, can you imagine if she would have like just pulled over just because, you know, someone sees a flashing light, you don't know?
Yeah. That's horrifying.
Because if you would have pulled me over when I was 16, it didn't matter like what your car looked like, I probably would have pulled over.
Yeah.
Just because I wouldn't know. I didn't want to get in trouble. I didn't want to run, you know?
And then they would have found your head and your hands in a box by the river.
Yep.
Like Adam Walsh.
So always call 911 if it seems sketchy, like just call 911. The officer, what is he going to do? Write you a ticket for being scared?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'd rather be safe and call 911 and run from the law than not know for sure.
Yeah. Call and verify.
Yeah.
Rather than not
be like,
call,
am I being
be like,
pulled over?
It'll be all right, and then get murdered.
Yeah. Because cars will do that. If you stick on your car's brights, like, I can't see what kind of car it is and anything.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it could just be a car with red and blue lights. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You could just have a red and blue flashlight.
Just out the window going off, but you have your brights on, so I think it's a cop.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Ugh.
That was a new thing I learned.
Scary.
That is scary.
Okay, you ready?
I am born ready.
Are you ready to talk about the Ouija board demon?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Tonight's the night, my friend.
God damn it.
Not doing it in my apartment.
I was thinking about doing this one.
We're just talking about the Ouija board demon. Okay,
I'm so hyped right now.
So if you don't know, oh my god, I don't know how you don't know these things already.
I'm rock hard.
Are you? I'm sure you are. Okay, so there is one particular demon that is associated with the Ouija board that is going to be one of the most famous demons out there. Because he has been referenced, and he has had multiple movies made about him. But he is real. To me, he is real.
Oh.
And so because I do not want to invoke his name, we are going to be calling him Piazza tonight.
Can I say his name?
No, you cannot.
Okay, well,
you can edit that in later if you want to,
but
you're
yeah,
not saying it here in this room.
Don't say it in my house.
Okay,
like, I really don't want to have to go to a Catholic church, get a priest to come here and clean my...
I won't say the name.
We're either going to be calling him Piazza or Zoolander tonight.
Zoolander.
Let's go with Zoolander.
That's what I
like
did with
Zoolander.
When I wrote out my notes, I did a find and replace for his real name,
mm-hmm,
and I changed it to either to Piazza or Zoolander.
Zoolander. I like that.
I didn't want to have it on my hard drive.
No,
that's fair.
Because he's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Well,
need
I
that.
Mean, I had an experience with him at Jefferson.
Exactly.
Remember?
So you should know better than just.
I
trying
should
to
know better, and I still want to test the waters.
Talk about him,
nope,
mention
nope,
him,
nope,
invoke his name.
Say him in your own room where you sleep and bake your cookies.
And if you didn't grow up in a superstitious household like the three of us did, or you were not exposed to the occult like I was, then this is all probably unfamiliar to you. But it's very much akin to the idea where in the Harry Potter novels, nobody wants to say Lord Voldemort's name because they're scared of him.
Yeah.
It's very much the same way. Mm-hmm. And towards the end of the books, and of course in the movies, they're able to summon Death Eaters just by saying his name out loud.
Yeah.
It becomes a thing that they're able to. And of course, there's that expression, speak of the devil and he'll appear. Yep. Or there's the idea that the devil, if you say his proper name, hears it and knows someone has said his name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing with this guy.
Yeah.
That's why we don't talk about the Ouija board in his actual name. We call him Piazza instead.
Or Zoolander.
I'm actually more glad that you're doing it than I am. I really wanted to do research on this topic, but my dumbass would have just been like, the demon hears his name.
Exactly.
And then we'd all be possessed and murdered.
We don't need that in our lives.
We really don't.
Don't need that bad juju. I'm just trying to get to college.
That's right. Okay, so Piazza is an actual Babylonian and Assyrian demonic god who was most popular in the first millennium before the Christian era, or before Christ.
Can we spell it if people want to look it up for real?
And look, if you don't know who I'm talking about, just go on Wikipedia, The Exorcist, and okay. Then read that article, and you'll know who I'm talking about. Because it talks about how the girl Regan McNeil was possessed by a particular demon, and it'll say his name.
Yeah.
In the Wikipedia article.
There's also a minor character in Futurama with the same name,
mm-hmm.
The gargoyle thing.
That's right. It pops up every now and then. Anyway, okay, so Piazza was the son of the king of the demons in the Assyrian and the Babylonian underworld, and he was in control of the west and southwest winds, which brought famine during the dry season, and storms and locusts during the rainy season. So he was seen as a destructive force kind of god. And people would pray to him and offer sacrifices to him to try to get him on their side and to give protection from these forces or try to appease him.
Yeah, I did a little bit of research on him when I was thinking about doing that for a part of my school project. And saw that in addition to just being like this evil entity, he was also very heavily associated with protection and people that wanted to be protected from
right.
other evil forces.
Yes, exactly.
Because it was seen as this one being so much more powerful that it could protect you
yes.
from basically.
He scared away lesser.
Yeah.
And there was a particular Assyrian demon who would attack pregnant ladies, pregnant women.
Yeah.
And try to cause like miscarriages or stillborn. And so expecting mothers would try to appease, or they would try to get Piazza on their side so that he would drive away the other goddess
mm.
or the other demoness who would come to, who was going to try to take the baby. So, of course, because we grew up in a Judeo-Christian world, the idea of a demon is something that we're familiar with, but it always has a negative connotation in our world. And it's always this idea that angels are good and Jesus is good and God is good and demons are bad, demons are from hell, demons are fallen angels.
Mm-hmm.
But 1,000 years before Christ was born, the idea of a demon was they're good, some of them are good, some of them are bad. You can appease them, you can ask them for protection. It was kind of a gray area. So some people did use him as a form of protection. He was, like I said, called upon to keep another demoness away from unborn or newly born babies, and also to try to keep disease and impotency and ill effects from the west wind and the southwest wind away. So he was especially frightening to other lesser demons, like I said, or ghosts. His likeness was that of a humanoid with bulging eyes and a canine or dog-like face, a scaly body, a snake-headed penis.
I do recall that, yes.
Talons of a large bird and enormous wings. Okay. I think that's all I'm going to do. I could go on and on about, okay, I'm going to keep going with this because there's other stuff that's really good on this.
Before you do,
go ahead.
Talking about the description of him, that was one thing that The Exorcist actually got really right, was when they uncover the statue,
right.
That huge statue.
Mm-hmm.
That was just made for the movie. That's not a real one that's out there.
No, but that's true.
They really paid attention to its origins and what it would look like.
That's true.
They did a really good job of creating the look.
But here's the thing about that. Here's what I realized in the research. Was when William Peter Blatty wrote the book The Exorcist, Lancaster Marin, the older priest character, finds actually a small statue of Piazza instead of a large statue.
Yeah.
And they still find some of those, and they also find like little carvings that almost look like almost the idea of like a trading card.
Mm-hmm.
Carvings of Piazza that were put in rooms and in houses to ward away other lesser demons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it was. Now, there is an idea that you shouldn't have the actual likeness of the demon because it's going to attract them. So a lot of them weren't always named out loud, like I just said. Mm-hmm. They weren't always named out loud, or they weren't always completely shown in their full form because they didn't want, because they wanted the protection, but they didn't want them all the time around.
Yeah.
Small statuettes were placed in children's rooms at times during the Babylonian and the Assyrian period. Later on, we get this idea that that our Christian God and Christian hell are a place, you know, that there's two different places and demons are bad all the time and they're malevolent all the time. So there was kind of a duality to him to begin with.
Mm.
But definitely as I go along, he never becomes benevolent at all. So he comes back into popular culture, and like I said, he's probably one of the most famous Assyrian and Babylonian demons that anyone's ever going to know about. Because in 1971, a man by the name of William Peter Blatty wrote a book called The Exorcist. And it was actually inspired by a true story that he had heard when he was going to school at Georgetown University outside of Washington, D.C. He heard about a 1949 case of demonic possession of a little boy. And it was pretty famous at the time, and there's some information about it. But basically, a boy was possessed by a demon, and it took a team of priests a couple of different sessions in order to drive the demon out. And so he writes this novel, and I'll tell you the whole plot of it if you've ever seen or read the book. Basically, there's a 12-year-old girl named Reagan McNeil. Her mother is a famous actress, and they have moved to Washington, D.C. for a couple of months so that she can, so that the mom, Chris McNeil, can star in a movie. And Reagan is kind of, I mean, she's a good kid, but she's the mom has just gone through a divorce, and so she doesn't have that many friends. She just moved there. But as they're renting out this house, somehow she finds a Ouija board in the house, and she starts to play with it, and she starts to communicate with a person or a character, an entity that she originally calls Captain Howdy in the book and in the movie. And in the movie, there's a part where the mom sees the Ouija board and she tries to touch it, and the planchette moves away from her.
I forgot about that.
Right? Yeah. And then there's another scene where Chris McNeil, the mom, wakes up and Reagan is in bed with her, and she says, my bed was shaking. Yeah. And that's why she got out of the bed. Of course, her behavior gets worse and worse and worse, and her condition gets worse and worse, which culminates in some really scary moments in the movie.
Annabelle, have you seen The Exorcist?
Actually, me and my friends wanted to watch it, and we started watching the beginning of it, but we got really bored because it takes a while to pick up. So that's we got right. really bored and didn't watch the end.
I remember you saying,
once it hits good.
Yeah, it just took so long to reach that like
yeah,
that
it's not
climax.
A good party movie unless it's like a sit yeah. down to watch the movie.
Mm-hmm.
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 And so we got bored and turned it off, watched mm-hmm. something else.
It's one of those things where it's like when we talked too much about Hereditary already.
God,
but one of the accolades for Hereditary was that it was the scariest movie since The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really is like the gold standard of horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something very, I mean, and I'll talk about it too, about how prevalent it is in popular culture and how many people still reference it.
Today.
But the story goes along where the mom, Chris McNeil, is an atheist, but she becomes convinced by the behavior because she takes her to a psychiatrist, she takes her to a battery of doctors, and no one can figure out what's wrong with her daughter and why she's acting this way. You know, she spins her head around, furniture moves, you know, she's flopping around in the bed, she's speaking in another worldly voice, she's averse to religious objects, the room is very cold, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
All those things happen in the book. And so, and in the movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris McNeil decides that she's going to try to track down a Jesuit priest, Damien Karras, in the book and in the movie. And she says, I think my daughter is possessed. So he goes to see her. He's not convinced until he actually sees the words "help me" scratched into her stomach, and they just appear as he's looking at them.
Yeah.
So he goes to the bishop, the local bishop, and tries to get permission to perform an exorcism. Mm-hmm. But because he's so young, and he's also a trained psychiatrist, so he goes from that psychology standpoint, the psychiatrist standpoint, trying to say it's all in her head. Mm-hmm. But he's convinced at some point.
Yeah.
And he says, "Well, you're too young, and you've never had any experience with this. But there is an older, more experienced priest who's just come back from Iraq, and his name is Lancaster Marin." And that's Max von Sydow in the movie. And Father Marin performs the exorcism with the help of Father Karras. Mm-hmm. And it takes multiple sessions to finally make any headway. But what happens in the movie is that Lancaster Marin has a heart condition, cardiac arrhythmia. He's taking nitroglycerin pills. And he ends up dropping his pills and not being able to take one at the very end of the movie. And he ends up dying before the exorcism is complete.
Mm-hmm.
And then Damian Karras, the younger priest, gets into a fight with Piazza in the form of Regan McNeil and tells him to get out of her and take him instead. And so the demon comes into the priest, and the priest throws himself out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he'd been struggling with the loss of faith, with the crisis of faith, because his mother had died.
Yeah.
And that was the other thing that the demon taunts him about, that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which goes to one of the big lines from Reagan that everybody knows from The Exorcist.
And what's funny about the movie, and I'll talk about that, is that the young girl, Linda Blair, was in the movie, and she was only like 15 when the movie came out.
She's kind of a weirdo now, isn't she?
Yeah, she is a little bit weird.
She got pretty messed up from that movie.
Wow.
It's an intense movie for a 15-year-old.
She had performed all of the regular Reagan stuff and some of the aberrant behavior Reagan stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But all the stuff that had to do with an actual human person vomiting or being flopped around on the bed or being levitated was performed by another actress.
Yeah.
And then all of the Piazza-voiced demonic speak in the movie was performed by yet another actress.
Yeah.
And so the girl, Linda Blair, the actress, didn't realize what kind of a full effect that movie would have until that movie came out in 1973.
Yeah.
Christmas Day, 1973.
Imagine being a teenager and
watching yourself act out all that.
Yeah, and I mean, even though you know it's not you, that it's another actress.
And you're saying, well, that's not my voice. That wasn't even me. I wasn't even perform that scene.
But the rest of the world sees it as Linda Blair's this freak that made this obscene horror movie that shocked and horrified audiences even today.
It was hugely popular.
Incredibly popular. So much publicity and a lot of hate towards Linda Blair.
Yes, so much hate that the studio hired bodyguards for her for 6 months because she was getting death threats.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah, she speaks backwards at one point. Remember that part?
Yes, I do.
Because he records the voice. He asks, he's pouring holy water on her, and he says, "Tell me your name." And she just kind of garbles and mumbles some stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he takes it to another priest who says, "Oh, it's English." He goes, "That's English? It's English backwards." And it just freaks you out.
Yeah, it was really weird, but yeah.
Ew.
Yeah, Linda Blair got kind of messed up from that movie, even though she wasn't necessarily acting in all of the horrible scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thought she was. So all that backlash and all the publicity and everything, the fame kind of went to her head. But also, you're a teenager. Hormones are raging. You're getting death threats for shit you didn't even do.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like you're doing these things, but you're getting death threats over a movie job.
Mm-hmm.
How dumb is that?
It's really dumb.
Okay, so here's some of the stuff that you don't maybe not know about the movie. Was that a lot of people feel like the movie set was cursed and the entire movie was cursed.
I was going to ask if you were talking about the movie set.
Yes, I was.
So I'm so excited about this.
So, at one point, a huge fire almost destroyed the entire home set.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the room that was Reagan's room.
Ew, no.
Yeah.
Ew.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. During the filming, Ellen Burstyn, who plays the mother, was injured. In one of the takes, and I think she dislocated her shoulder.
Ew,
being
weird.
Thrown
yeah.
in one of the scenes. Two of the actors were killed while the film was in post-production, but they played characters who died in the movie.
Ew. How did they die, like, on set or like just
they died in post-production.
Wow.
So while they were like doing all the editing and sound mixing and stuff,
they just happened to
also
pass
away. Linda Blair's grandfather died and Max von Sydow's brother died. His brother died on the first day of shooting.
Ew.
The son of the man who played Father Damien Karras was also killed in a motorcycle accident.
That's just like too many coincidental deaths during the making
of
the movie.
There's even more deaths.
Let me just finish.
Ew.
During one of the possession scenes, Linda Blair was thrown out of the bed when a piece of rigging broke and she had a back injury. Again, she received so many death threats after the movie was released that the studio had to hire bodyguards to escort her for the next 6 months. The actress who did the voice of Piazza, she had actually been sober for years and years, and she started drinking during the recording process to get into character. And she also I think she would swallow raw eggs to like make her voice more haggard and gross.
Have you heard the demon voice?
No.
From The Exorcist?
You gonna enter it in here?
Yeah, you gotta listen to it.
No, I don't listen to it right now.
No, no, but like I'll look it up so we can show it later.
Okay, we'll show it later. That actor's son murdered his wife and child before he committed suicide later on.
Ew.
After the movie had been filmed. Let's see here. Billy Graham, the televangelist, Dr. Billy Graham, said, and I quote, "There is a power of evil in the film, in the fabric of the film itself. It was banned in almost every Middle Eastern country. During the premiere in Rome, audiences had to stand outside in a torrential downpour that included thunder and lightning in order to see the movie. Many people inside the theater claimed to hear a horrific, almost demonic cry coming from outside once the film started rolling. At one showing, a woman was so frightened she passed out in the theater and broke her jaw."
How'd she break her jaw?
She passed out and fell.
She fell forward?
Yes. Ew. So there's all this idea that the film was cursed.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. Some other things here. Let's talk about how he... Okay, so like I said, Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that comes into mind is because of the book. In the book and in the movie... The reason that she's able to make contact with Piazza is because she's playing with a Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people still feel like he inhabits or he contacts other people through the Ouija board.
Yeah.
A guy says, there was a guy named Darren Wayne Evans who wrote a huge, long story about how he had made contact with Zoolander through the Ouija board, because that's one of his other names. Sometimes you'll ask, who am I speaking to? And he'll move around and give his own name out, but it's a shortened version of Piazza. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot like Zoolander. That's about as close as I'm going to do. But this guy, Darrell Wayne Evans, says, "During my experiences with Ouija boards, one particular spirit always seems compelled to make his presence known. His name is something, Zoolander, basically.
Yeah.
Today I refuse to even pronounce his name, as I believe the mere pronunciation of it can cause it to manifest itself, like I just said.
Nope.
Too many times to count, it is at first pretended to be a nice spirit or to pretend whoever I'm trying to contact, but eventually it shows itself cussing at me, threatening me, and others present in the room. Once it actually cussed me using what looked like Latin or Hebrew and using biblical terminology. I was genuinely fascinated and startled by how many times Zoolander shows up, even in many states and different boards."
That was something else that I read about the demon Zoolander, was that it did more than attach itself to a board. It would sometimes attach itself to people. So like what Jake was just saying, you can be somebody who can contact Zoolander on a board, throw the board and the planchette away properly, get a new one, and Zoolander will still be attached to you. Like, it will remember that it spoke to you, and it will talk to you again. On a new board from somewhere totally different, you know, different
Hasbro.
State. Yeah, Hasbro or, you know, whatever you can get, you know, it will remember you and it will talk to you. And there have been, I can't remember like exact ones, but there have been stories of like using a new board and it referencing something that it said in an old one.
Ooh, no.
Yeah.
That's why I've told them multiple times to stay away from Ouija boards.
Yeah, it knows you now.
Okay, let me finish this story.
Yeah, I'm sorry, keep going.
No, it's okay. Evan says it's always wound up being very nasty and commented freely about how it wanted to possess my girlfriends and take them to paradise. When asked where paradise was, it spelled hell. One time, after Zoolander was being extremely evil, I walked into my bathroom only to see my one-year-old daughter about to drown. Her mother had left her alone in the tub for just a second, and somehow the water got turned on and was overflowing.
Ew.
Mm-hmm. The next day, she was hospitalized, the baby, the one-year-old, mm-hmm. for some weird internal infection and was put into isolation. Just missed my spot here. For 14 days straight as doctors tried to diagnose the illness.
That's not like demonic things. This is like, how... Is it just like coincidental things that happen?
It's not coincidental.
I don't know. I feel like there could be bad parenting in that because you never leave a...
Where did the internal infection come from?
Well, you never leave a child in the restroom alone. Ever.
Absolutely.
Ever.
I know.
Evan so, like, said, that's bad parenting.
That is bad parenting.
But still.
There's a weird element to the bad parenting.
How did the water get turned on like that? Yes, you're never supposed to leave your child unattended in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Which leads me to another story. I'll tell you in just a second.
Gosh damn it.
Evan says that since his experience, he's made contact with other people who have spoken to someone called Zoolander via a spirit board. Here's my story. My son is 8 years old. He's probably like, he's almost 5 feet tall. He's a big, tall kid, mm-hmm. right? One night, right before Christmas break was over, we were going to give him a bath because he needed to go to sleep because he's going to go to school the next day.
Yeah.
So we turn the water on. He's big enough that, you know, he knows how to swim. He's not going to drown in the bathtub, but it's warm. I made sure that the bathroom was warm. The water's on, and he's laying in the bathtub, and he's just kind of soaking for a couple of minutes. I said, I'll be right back. So I go out of the room for about 3 minutes, and I come back, and he is fast asleep.
Oh, my God.
On his back in the bathtub, just laying there. And he's okay. It's not like he's drowning or anything.
Yeah, it's so
freaky.
But
he's just, like, snoring real softly just asleep. And so I go, and I yelled at him off. I was like, hey, come here. And of course, because she's a panicky idiot, she automatically thinks that he's actively drowning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to casually say, hey, come here.
Yeah. As he's actively
she
drowning,
she runs
yeah.
in there all freaked out, and she's like, get him up. And I'm like, he's not drowning. But
he's old enough.
He's fallen asleep in the bathtub.
Yeah.
But again, never leave your kids unattended in the bathtub.
Yeah.
And he was okay. You know,
I was like, your kid should be old enough to hopefully not drown.
But he had actually fallen asleep in the tub.
Yeah.
It does not take very long for things to happen like that.
Mm-mm.
We can edit that out if we need to. Okay, let me finish with my Zoolander stories. In November 2014, 35 students at a school in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, Santa Cruz de la Sierra, Bolivia, mm-hmm. were taken to hospital for treatment after playing with a Ouija board, known locally as the Cup Game. They were reportedly suffering from mental agitation and confusion, profuse sweating, rapid pulses, and trance-like states.
And how many students was that again?
35 students.
35 students.
Drugs.
The largest outbreak of illness attributed to a Ouija board took place between October 2006 and June 2007 at a girls-only boarding school near Mexico City. Students at the girls' town school reported a variety of symptoms, including headaches and difficulty walking. Some students could only walk with help from their friends. Symptoms would go suddenly and come back and recur. One of a student population of 4,000 girls, 512 were affected. The psychiatrist that was sent to investigate the outbreak diagnosed it as a state of mass psychogenic illness, like mass hysteria, and traced it back to a student who had used an Ouija board to try to influence the outcome of a basketball game. Writing in a journal, a 2010 journal, about the experience, she noted that the accused girl was expelled for using the board, but before leaving, she was reported to have cursed the school.
Oh, shit.
Soon afterwards, the symptoms appeared. A belief in the reality of demons and spirits, the involvement of the Ouija board, and rumors that Maria's mother was a witch appear to have generated extreme stress. They observed that even before the outbreak, the school was a hotbed of tension. Anytime they get that many girls, everybody's going to hate each other. But still, whether it was mass hysteria, or she actually did it, or Zoolander just happened to be there, you never know.
It's still weird that that many students were affected.
Mm-hmm. A primitive form of the Ouija board is the Charlie Charlie game, which spread by social media in early 2015.
I remember that. They made a shitty movie about it.
Did they?
Yeah.
The game is played by writing the words yes and no on a piece of paper. Two pencils are placed on top of each other, and the questions are posed. As the pencils pivot right or left, a spirit is supposedly entering the questions. Is that true?
Yeah, I've seen some people use that before. But this shitty movie that I mentioned, they took that idea and then tried to Hollywood amp it up to the next level. Oh, so there's a bunch of kids doing found footage horror thing in this abandoned school where a kid named Charlie died.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It was just fucking stupid. But the Charlie Charlie thing was actually kind of neat. Seeing it in person, mm-hmm. the real thing, not the movie.
So, Charlie Charlie. Four students in Colombia were hospitalized when they began screaming and babbling after playing the game. Schools in several countries across the Caribbean reported a wave of symptoms after kids played the game, including trance-like states, confusion, fainting.
Yeah, I remember hearing about my middle school, I think it was, that teachers would actually yell at kids and tell them not to do that. I mean, even if it was just at lunch or whatever, when they had free time, they would get mad at them and be like, no, don't fucking do it, you dumb little idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Because kids are dumb little idiots.
Okay, so.
Adorable, but not the smartest.
So if you get anything out of this, don't play with a Ouija board. No, you should just not. Signs that you may be in contact with Zoolander while you use a Ouija board.
Which I did mention briefly in my Jefferson thing.
Yes, you did.
But I didn't pay attention to because I used it anyway.
Okay,
learn from me,
fucking
please.
Idiot.
Yeah, you're right.
How many times did I tell you?
You told him a bunch of times.
I told you so many times.
So many opportunities to just not do it.
No, so many
times.
And
you know what I did?
And you still did it.
You did it.
I tried to get the board to spell out, fuck you, Jake.
Bullshit. Don't mention me.
No, I didn't.
All right.
Keep my name out your mouth.
Keep my name out your mouth.
Keep my name out your
mouth. Keep my name out your mouth.
Basically.
Clap back.
All right. Anyway. Signs you may be in contact with Zoolander while you use an Ouija board. Rapid figure eight movements of the planchette.
Mm-hmm.
Rainbow side to side movements of the planchette. The planchette tries to spell out his name.
Mm-mm.
Look this up if you really want to tempt fate. Go ahead and look it up, listeners, insomniacs.
Mm-mm.
An extreme sense of uneasiness, thoughts of depression during or after a Ouija board session.
Been there.
Dark shadow movements in and around the Ouija board have also been reported. Now, what to do if you come in contact with him? Don't panic. Darker entities, especially demons, feed off of fear. Close the session as soon as possible. If you are using a Ouija board, move the planchette over to goodbye. Set boundaries before starting any spirit communication. It is important to set boundaries with ghosts, entities, demons that you may be communicating with. Smudge the area, smudge the Ouija board, smudge the participants. And by smudging, what we mean by smudging is that you need to go and find yourself some
sage,
and you need to burn the sage, and the smoke is smudging the area, cleansing the area.
Holy water.
Our hotel room was a smoke.
Just have a Catholic priest on speed dial.
Once you close your session, do not use the same Ouija board ever again.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do not ever speak or say his name, which is why after we're done with this, I'm going to delete this file from my...
That's probably a good idea.
Yes.
And maybe I'm not the smartest person. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I make my decisions. I stand by them.
If you say so... All right, so, since we've already done all this research, Dylan, you want to recount your experience with the Ouija board?
I do, more than anything I do.
There you go, let's hear it.
Okay, so...
This part of the podcast episode is called, Why Dylan is So Stupid.
Yeah. Do-do-do-do.
That's right.
Why Dylan is So Stupid. So, learn from my mistakes, as I said earlier. So, Jake went over some of the rules. One of the other ones, which was... The one that I encountered and the one that I also forgot to mention when I was telling these people...
That's right.
...was if it starts counting down on the board...
Yes.
That's bad news, Bears.
That's also a sign.
Real bad. But yeah, you know, we were in a haunted hotel in a haunted town, Jefferson, Texas. Beautiful place, by the way.
Anyway, group of us set this Ouija board up. We opened it up to communication. It kicked things off in a way that I'm still, like, baffled about. Was when we all had our ears, including me, four of us, and each one of us had our, you know, fingers on the sides of the planchette. Nobody was touching the very tip. And, you know, we asked if there was anybody there. It started, like, inching towards the word yes. And then it looked like somebody, or, you know, it looked like somebody pressed down on the very tip of it, and the planchette pivoted to the word yes in a way that we could not have done unless we were all acting together at one point and had an anchor for the pivot, or for the very point, which we didn't. It was really weird. Then, you know, the next person in line asked, you know, how many spirits are here, because there's supposedly a lot, and went down to four. Asked some other questions. It didn't say anything, so we were like, oh, you know, it's probably just confused because there's, you know, a bunch of spirits here. Doesn't know which one we're talking to. And then it moved down to three. Or, you know, they were like, oh, I guess it, you know, I guess it went away, or one of them went away. And that was when I was kind of on, like, high alert, you know? Because I may be stupid, but I'm not an idiot.
Okay, if you say so.
And then, like, we asked a couple things and nothing else happened, and then it moved to two.
Oh, man, Jesus Christ.
And that's when I shut it down. I was like, okay, we'd like to thank you very much for your time. And then I moved the planchette over the words goodbye. And we shut it down, and they had no idea what was going on. And I was like, I totally forgot to mention to y'all, you should not keep it going if it starts counting down. That's just not good. That doesn't mean the spirits leave it. That's some bad news bears. That's some Zoolander nonsense.
I fucking told you.
Yeah. Before
you left.
You did. Also, while we were there, you know, saw, like, the shadow figures and heard noises, usual haunted hotel kind of stuff, which I loved. And then there was a point when we all gathered around after the Ouija board session, and we're trying to communicate with the spirits with a tape recorder. And once we opened it up to let the spirits communicate whatever they wanted to, I got this huge, heavy wave of depression and, like, started basically crying. You know, just, like, tears rolling down my face. This big pressure, this weight on my heart and my brain. And then as soon as we were like, okay, we'd like to thank you for your time, and we turned everything off and got the lights on, it went away instantly. So I am not going to lie. I cherish that memory. I cherish the experience.
Sure you do.
I want to go back to Jefferson very bad. But please, if anybody wants to do haunted tours and things, learn from my mistakes. Have sage ready. We didn't do that because there's a smoke-free hotel. Don't touch Ouija boards. You know?
Get some blessing on you.
Get some blessings if you can. Always, always pay attention to the rules. That was the big thing. I was the only one that knew the rules, and I tried to explain to the other three that were there because they didn't read it. You know, they didn't read through the page of rules. And I forgot to mention one of them. And of course, the one I forgot to mention was the counting down, which happened. So just keep the rules in mind if you are going to mess with this. Please don't. But if you do, because I can't say, like, oh, nobody here has ever done that. No, I did it. Will I do it again? Almost certainly at some point.
You dope.
Yeah, I know I'm dumb for that, but I'm still probably going to do it, you know? But I'll be safe. Always dispose of the board properly, be respectful, never ask things like, do you hate us or do you want to kill us? You know, be respectful, pay attention to the rules, close it out properly, get rid of your boards. Don't be stupid. Don't talk to Zoolander.
And that's our public service announcement.
Another PSA.
I just deleted that file, so.
Good.
I hope that we have it recorded because I'm never going to do that one again.
No, wrap it up. You're good to go.
Oh, awesome. We're good. All right. This has been a good episode.
I hope so.
Can't wait to get this one out in 4 months. Anyway, this was a fun episode. I'd like to give a shout out to McKenna H., who is somebody that works with my father. He told her about our podcast, and she messaged us on Instagram and was super excited and really liked it, which is really cool. I just wanted to give a shout out to her and a shout out to my dad for recommending people to listen to us.
And also to our number one fan, Jamie F.
Hooray, Jamie, we love you.
Who apparently is okay with us shouting out to her every single episode, so we're going to go ahead and keep doing it. We're going to keep doing it until it gets awkward and you have to ask us to stop.
Yeah, we'll do it multiple times every episode. Absolutely. Don't test us.
Tell her she can sponsor us on Anchor.
Oh, that's true. We need to start Patreon.
Patreon.
We haven't even made videos yet. I need to get Best Buy does student discounts. I didn't know that.
Oh shit, what up? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Someone told me that on campus.
Excellent.
Oh my god.
And they do cameras too, discount cameras.
Cool.
Oh my god. I can get a good video card, we can use my camera. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Anyway, this was the episode. Those were the shout outs. Big news for any students that listen to us, Best Buy has discounts. Didn't know that. Thanks, yeah. Annabelle.
Excellent.
Go out there, get your coin, get your laptop.
Anyway, so from Annabelle, our producer, and Dylan, my co-host, I'm Jake, and hope we have left you too scared to sleep.
Turn the light on and then turn the light off and then turn the fan.
Is that going to make all that ambient noise?
I don't know. I'm about to listen right now, but I'm getting hot, so I want the fan.
Should just take your pants off like I did.
Stop. Ooh, I heard myself yelling. I'm so sorry if you're wearing headphones. It was loud.
I'm going to make sure to turn your part all the way up right when you yell. Also, this fan does feel really good, even if it does make noise.
I think you can definitely hear it.
God damn it.
You're like slipping. Like that? It doesn't sound exactly like that, but do you think it's...
Oh no, that is super noticeable.
Crap. Fuck. Should I just turn on the AC? Let's test real quick.
Creation of Adam. Bluetooth headphones.
Oh, that's too loud.
Yeah. That's real bad.
But you want to know something? We sound really good.
Fucking right we do.
Fucking right.
Oh, that's better.
No, I think it's even louder. Just open the door.
Open the door, honestly. That's not a bad idea. Better. It's probably real cold out there.
Was it?
All about that.
Oh, I feel so old. There's a fucking...
Oh my god, this sounds really
there's
bad.
People out there. I don't want to open the...
Oh, shit.
If I open the window, because then it's got the net so bugs won't get in.
There you go. But yeah, that AC sounds real bad over these headphones.
Yeah. I thought it might be louder. I was like, it sounds quiet when we're sleeping, but then...
I don't understand. I need someone to... I'm going to sound like such an old man right now, but I need someone's help to figure out how Snapchat works.
Oh my god.
Don't you have to do it before the 30th?
Oh.
Question mark?
Annabelle.
When do you have to do it?
You have until April to do your taxes.
Okay, Renee told me the 30th, and I like freaked out.
No, you dorks. It's because y'all aren't really all the
we're
way adults
yet.
You haven't adulted for long enough.
We haven't.
You haven't.
So when do we get refunds back?
That's based on when you file. Usually like 2 or 3 weeks afterwards if you do the direct deposit thing.
Ski.
Which I would highly recommend.
Yeah, so I was like, I just wanted to surprise in my account.
I know it's there.
I want that whole, like, $20 that I'm going to get back.
I'm sure now it'll be like, do you want us to send an SMS message when you're, you know, you'll know.
Yeah.
You'll know when you show up.
Yeah,
when
it
shows.
True.
The true.
Like, I'm hoping since I'm a student, I'll get something back. And I worked a job for an entire year, so I only have...
Congratulations, you're an adult. You only have 62 more years of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Dang. You think you're ahead of the game, but then you realize the game is going to go on for years.
The game will go on until the day you die.
This sucks.
You'll be that lady at Walmart, the door greeter.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to Walmart.
You're going to live and die in that Walmart.
It's horrible. We'll all live and die in a Walmart.
Ain't that the fucking truth?
I take off my socks. I'm kidding.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Except for the one sock that you have on.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Only one sock on.
My third sock.
And I quit. Thank
That's
you
a
for
tube
listening.
Sock.
Oh, God.
That That's it for Annabelle.
That's one of those ankle socks.
No show.
No show.
No show.
Gross. Yeah. Small dick.
The perennial no show. Joke. All right, keep going. Switch your topic.
Okay.
Do it already.
Someone's having a good time.
Oh, I was like, what the hell
is that? Oh, man. I remember one night I went over to my brother's house. This was years ago. Years and years ago. No. And we got shit-faced drunk at his house playing cards. And I went outside to have a cigarette. And the duplex next to them, those guys were getting drunk. And I went over there and started talking to them. And there was this girl there. And we started making out. And I almost took her home.
How old are you?
Oh, probably like 26.
Dang.
I was going to say.
I was like wondering, 13. I was like, do people still
this
do
was
that?
Last week.
No, I was wondering, I was like, people still do that?
No, this was a long time ago.
I was like, do random hookups like that? Because that's dangerous.
I mean, it's always been dangerous.
Definitely, but now we like know about it. So
yeah, that's true.
Now they teach it in elementary school how dangerous. Mm-hmm.
Remember, kids, when you're going out in the bar when you're in high school, keep an eye out for Rufius.
Don't leave your drink unattended.
Why did it get brighter when it started to die?
I don't know.
I said the end of the mic like anyone cares.
That's how it goes with people who are terminally ill. I know.
Jesus Christ.
My mother-in-law died.
Oh my God.
Like,
no, I'm kidding.
We're here to talk about.
No, I'm kidding. She had a stroke and went.
I was like, I definitely am.
This is too real, okay?
Who's this?
Is that R. Kelly?
Oh my
In
God.
Ethiopia. Do you hear what he's singing?
No. What are they singing about? Is he like talking about taking people back to America?
Yes, for his sex cult.
Oh no, hun. Ew, America's not that great. You can stay... Stay away from R. Kelly. R. Kelly doesn't need to be your only chance to get into America.
Stay away from R. Kelly.
Are we
sure.
recording right now?
No.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, America's not that great to join a sex cult with R. Kelly.
Yeah,
I don't
want to
even look at R. Kelly.
Yeah, because they just came out with that Surviving R. Kelly documentary.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know how I found that, but there he is in Ethiopia singing the catchiest tune you'll ever get stuck in your head.
No, Ethiopia, don't go with R. Kelly.
Come back with Rob to America.
No.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Stay away from R. Kelly.
There's something wrong with that guy.
All the ladies out there.
Ugh, disgusting.
Stay away from R. Kelly.
Yeah. What a fucking freak.
Go to class, go to school.
For sure he has HPV.
Oh yeah. A thousand percent.
He's got to have at least two STDs. Just on his balls.
One for each.
One for each.